The listener will notice that in the many passages where Lao Tzu describes the master, I've used the pronoun she at least as often as he. The Chinese language doesn't make this kind of distinction. In English, we have to choose. But since we are all potentially the master, since the master is, essentially, us, I felt it would be untrue to present a male archetype, as other versions have, ironically, done. Ironically, because of all the great world religions, the teaching of Lao Tzu is by far the most female. Of course, you should feel free, throughout the recording, to substitute he for she, or vice versa. As to method, I worked from Paul Karras's literal version, which provides English equivalents, often very quaint ones, alongside each of the Chinese ideograms. I also consulted dozens of translations into English, German, and French. But the most essential preparation for my work was a 14 years long course of Zen training, which brought me face to face with Lao Tzu and his true disciples and heirs, the early Chinese Zen masters. With great poetry, the freest translation is sometimes the most faithful. We must try its effect as an English poem, Dr. Johnson said. That is the way to judge of the merit of a translation. I have often been fairly literal, or as literal as one can be with such a subtle, kaleidoscopic book as the Tao Te Ching. But I have also paraphrased, expanded, contracted, interpreted, worked with the text, played with it, until it became embodied in a language that felt genuine to me. If I haven't always translated Lao Tzu's words, my intention has always been to translate his mind.